Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Beneath the Kotatsu. My name is On, and next to me is my co-host, James.
Everybody, back at it again with some more anime.
Yep. And for the 35th episode, we're going to be talking about Showa Genroku Rakugo Shinju. What were your overall thoughts for this anime, James?
My knee-jerk reaction was to immediately kick something out of my top five favorite anime of all time. It was that pleasing. After Eva, I was a little bit depressed. You know, when you see your most anticipated show and it's everything you wanted, right? Nothing lives up to that. And this definitely lived up to it.
Yeah, like basically when you finish a good book or when you finish a good show, you're like, what? I got nothing to watch now. What
am I supposed to do? Everything looks like garbage. Not really garbage, but you know what I mean. It doesn't live up.
Like, what are you supposed to do with your life now, right? That's the
when you had real Wagyu instead of the fake Wagyu you see at the store. I know I always talk about food and, you know, but that's a good rating.
Okay, so I guess before we start talking about this anime, I'll lay down some ground rules because this is probably one of those animes that it's going to be hard.
Happens.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard to talk about this anime without spoiling it. So that's the thing. We're going to be spoiling this anime.
And either way, it's just a discussion that we're having about it because we both saw it at the same amount of time. I actually finished it last night. You finished it the night before.
Yeah. So we will be spoiling this anime, of course. And another thing is that we will split this podcast into like a first part, which is the first
two sections.
Yeah, and then it's like it'll still be one podcast. We'll still talk about the anime as a whole.
Season one, season two.
Yeah. And for the first part, we'll just spoil just the first part. And then for the second part, we'll spoil the second part. And here's my thing coming into this. If you watched the first season and you liked it, and you pushed off on watching the second season, I would definitely tell you to go watch the second season before
me too.
Before you listen to this podcast, because when I went into the second season, I was like, what more can they really offer me?
Exactly. And then,
yeah, you did, like, I remember you had the same reaction too, right? Like, oh, you know, I'm in the second season. How much more crazy can it get?
And then, remember, I like said you a message, oh my god, what the fuck is going on? He's like, hold on a second, 30 more seconds.
Give it 30 seconds.
And then freaking top blowed off.
All right, so that's our little bit intro to the second season. So if you haven't watched the second season, I implore you
absolutely
to watch the second season before you listen to us ramble on about this crap, about our crap, you know, because there's no point in listening to us because you gotta go watch it first. You have to go watch the second season if you haven't watched it. Like, if you watch the first season, you haven't watched the second season, go watch it. If you haven't watched the first season and you just want to listen to us ramble, you know, by all be it, you know, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, fair warning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get on with it.
Yeah. So for the first season, it starts off with I guess he was technically the main character, but he became a sub character in like episode two.
Yotaro?
Yeah, Yotaro. Which is basically, like, he just got out of prison. He got very, like, influenced by...
enamored by Rakugo.
Yeah, but enamored by Rakugo, and he wants to be the apprentice of,
Urete Yakumo, 8th gen.
8th gen. Yakumo. And, actually, can you explain the generation thing real quick? Because they talk about that a lot.
Yeah, the generation thing is, one of the ways you get a name in Rakugo, one is to be given a name by your master, like when you're, I think is the Futatame, the second rank after Zenza.
I don't know anything about the ranks, but yeah.
So there's just three. Zenza, Futatame, I think, and then Shinoichi. Shinoichi is like your master. But interesting side note about the second rank, you can actually organize your own plays and stuff like that, your own Rakugo concerts or whatever you would call it.
Right. That's pretty cool.
Going back to the 8th gen, you're just inheriting your master's name. Your master gives it to you, you take it.
So when we're saying 8th gen, he is the 8th person down the line that has carried the name.
Yep.
8th gen.
In season one, we're seeing 7th gen as his master.
Okay, so 8th gen is Yotaro, it's 8th gen?
Yotaro was... That's a season two thing.
No. But if it's a... Like, that's a minor thing enough for when we're talking about the generation. What generation is he?
So, are you talking about the Naruto dude?
No.
The loudmouth? Are you talking about Kiku Hiko?
Yeah. The loudmouth.
Okay, loudmouth becomes 9.
Okay, so that makes sense. So, Yakumo is 8, and then he gives the name to Yotaro, which he becomes the 9th. So, yeah. You basically pass down the name. Okay, gotcha.
It's like, you notice whenever they're doing the Rakugo, the audience members yell out, 7th gen, 8th gen, 3rd gen, for different types of masters.
Yeah. It gets so confusing because you don't really, you're not used to like hearing like generation.
No, I definitely got confused because we never knew Rakugo was a thing. It's like, what the heck is this? Oh, it's like stand up but sitting down, but not quite. Rakugo can be serious, sad, comedic. Yeah. There's different levels of storytelling.
It's basically stand-up comedy, right? But more storytelling involved in it to it, and like the little bit I know about Rakugo is basically it comes from like downtown, where one of the comedians actually is into Rakugo, and he actually did take a name from his master, and I recall specifically in like 2013 or whatever, when they were doing their yearly downtown Batsu game or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, I finally changed my name to whatever now. And then like everyone else kind of made fun of him, like with his name or whatever, but they respected it because
that, long held tradition. It's several hundreds of years. Actually, isn't it thousands of years? It started, like, I think with some monks or something like that.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you the history of Rakugo.
It's a lot. That's a whole movie or a whole series of Netflix shows that they can make on that. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a whole thing in itself. So yeah, so when Yotaro was first being showed for the main character or whatever, I swear to you, if he was going to be the main character of the first season, I was gonna drop it. So like if I had to just watch it on my own right and not be like forced to watch it because like we chose it or whatever.
You I would have like dropped it so hard
because he's not a likable character at
all. I liked him. He's basically Naruto with magic and, you know, modern society where the setting he was born into.
So are you saying you like Naruto?
Yeah, dude, Naruto's legit.
As a character, I hate.
He starts off annoying as fuck, but you see him.
That's what I'm saying. Like he him. But that's the thing, like, he was so annoying, and keep in mind, like, when you're watching Naruto, you have, like, several, like, hundreds of episodes to see him, you only get 12, right, and in all of them, I just felt like he was so annoying to me, and I'm glad they didn't use him as the main character, because in episode 2, they immediately transition back into, what was it, like, the time was, like,
when World War
II or something, or?
Pre-war?
Yeah,
like at least 15 years or 10 years prior to the World War II.
Yeah. So the actual main character is Sukeroku and Yakumo. Sukeroku is basically like a street kid who got influenced by Rakugo and he wants to be in the Rakugo world. Yakumo is...
He was a geisha. He messed up his leg, and then they were like, we can't really use him. Even then, geisha is really more a female-dominated thing, right?
Right.
So they passed him off to 7th generation Yurekute Yakumo to have him as his disciple.
Right.
And did he just take Sukeroku as a whim, by the way? Because he's just kind of showed up. He's like, please take me as your student.
I guess so. I don't know. I remember... Sukeroku was just showing off like how he remembered doing Rakugo and Yakumo thought he was actually really funny or whatever. So I don't know. They didn't really go too deep into that story because the progression they do with season one is very fast paced.
Yeah.
Well,
they just really quick, the master mentioned, oh, it might be good for him to have this other kid that's wildly different personality wise.
Yeah.
It would influence his Rakugo, and Rakugo is something you hone over years with your own personality and stuff you go through.
Right. Yeah, they get pretty deep into that, especially like because not everyone can do certain Rakugo because like not every comedian, like every comedian has their own style.
Exactly.
That's my own, like some comedians, you know, they like doing like the deadpan type of comedian. Some are like very boisterous or whatever. Like the only one that comes up to mind is like the guy with the machine or whatever. Like that's his own Bert comedy. You know?
Yeah. I know what you mean. I think the closest person to Rock would go like comedy wise, American people like Robin Williams or like a Jim Carrey, right? That they're dead ringers for, they probably transitioned good into Rakugo if, you know, Robin Williams was still around.
I could definitely see that. Who's the one you said you really like, the one from Comedy Central? I forgot his name.
You think about Dave Chappelle?
Yeah, Dave Chappelle.
He's more of an orator these days, I'd say. He really is the top of the top in the current generation of comedians.
Yeah, like overall, Rakugo is basically storytelling. Like you have your ups and downs of Rakugo, like with the, you know, certain parts and it's just not humor in Rakugo. Like Rakugo can just be pretty much everything. It's like audiobooks stories. Before audiobooks became a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like what you did before TV.
Yeah.
And they even showed it in season 2, like Rakugo transitioned into radio.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty awesome too.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
What do you think overall on the when they actually went into the real main characters?
It was like just blanket statement for the whole first season. It was really nice seeing them grow and go through hardships. You know, we went through that whole part where Kikuhiku like wasn't even doing Rakugo. He was working in a factory, working as a server, because at the time Sukaroku was called Deki Goro, I think, right? No, that was Yotaro when he was starting out. I'll just call him Sukaroku.
Yeah.
And he went off to do like a tour to kind of like, you know, how we have our thing with, you know, comedians going to do shows for the troops, and I think wrestlers go too. I forget what it's called.
Oh, is that what they went to do? I thought they actually joined the army.
No, they went to go entertain them.
Yeah, so kind of like a morale thing.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, they're starved for content. You get great practice in. That's the thing about comedy and Rakugo. All types of performance, you need to get your reps in, or else you're not going to get used to handling different types of crowds. And that was probably one of the things that gave Sukaroku a huge leg up
Sukaroku was always a leg up on Yakumo.
Just because of the personality. And he had his different style too.
Yeah, it's not just because of personality. It's because Sukaroku knows his limit and knows what kind of Rakugo he can do.
He wants Yakumo, to do.
Yeah.
Yakumo, Sukaroku does everything, dude. He doesn't care. He has no respect for elders
that. Yeah, exactly. He wants to broaden the appeal of Rakugo, because in his mind he knows that Rakugo is like, it's a dying art. He knows it already in his heart of heart that if this tradition, or if he wants Rakugo to transition into like the 21st century, they need a change. They need to change something about Rakugo, because
at that point he wasn't like, what age are we talking about?
Okay, so yeah, so with the first season, the transition of age is really broad. It goes from them being like 8 years old all the way to them being like in their late 30s, you would say, right? Yeah?
Yeah. Late 30s. That's about right.
Yeah, so I guess this would be me saying this as him when he was like 25, when he was almost leaving getting out of Rakugo.
Yeah.
Is that he knows it's a, you know, it's a dying art.
Well, it wasn't that he got out. I think he was just being ostracized, right?
Yeah, because he wants to broaden what Rakugo is. He doesn't just want to carry the same story. He wants to take other stories.
Specifically, he was butting heads with the Rakugo Association. They didn't approve of how he was handling things. They're traditionalists, just like Yakumo.
Yeah. But keep it, I totally understand that, because tradition is key. You know, tradition is key in this type of art.
Yeah.
And he didn't really give like a care for anything in the world. Like he'll be sleeping right before his on stage, what performance or whatever.
Yeah.
And Yakumo is like completely the opposite.
Well, because it's his upbringing, dude. Well,
yeah, it's his upbringing.
Difference he had before then, because Sukeroku had like a Rakugo. Was it second generation Sukeroku was the guy who influenced him, and
yeah,
Yakumo was a failed geisha. He messed up his leg,
yeah,
and was going through a huge despair. Like, what am I gonna do with my life? I can't do anything. I have no parents,
right?
You know,
and with Yakumo, he didn't really find his
he had to live.
Form. Yeah, he didn't find his art form until much later in his life, like.
Yeah,
I would say around that transition period with Sukeroku, around age 25, when he figured out that, yes, there are some Rakugo that I can't do, and there's some that appeal very, very well to my type of Rakugo, because yeah. He has the type of voice where it's very, like, feminine, and Sukeroku is like, you gotta play to that strength, yeah.
Specifically, it was when Sukeroku asked Yakumo or Kikuhiko at that time to be in a like a community play type of thing, and he would be the one painting it out. That's where he found what type of Rakugo or how he could do his Rakugo, and he noticed everybody looking at him when he's dressed as the geisha, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And once he gets into that transition, you see a new light in the first season. It's really crazy. Like, that was like a big hard transition. Into maybe that was around episode 8 when they do that hard transition where he finds his Rakugo, and like we've been dancing around the topic of regarding like the Rakugo in general, but I just love it when they actually just full on just show Rakugo.
Yeah, I do too. They do. I mean, yeah. The whole show is Rakugo. They show a lot of Rakugo. It's a good balance between thing. Background and Rakugo.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's the thing about a lot of these like. Art, would you say it's like an art?
It is anime? An art form.
Yeah, it's an art, right? Like a lot of times they just do like quick cuts of it, and they just show you like partial shows or whatever. Like,
well, they change the camera to show you the different character, right?
And yeah,
the different like angle to look how the character is looking at the other character.
Yeah, but not even that. They don't show you like the full performance of like the art, or it's hard to say.
They show you enough, because these are like 7-minute performances.
That's what I'm saying. With this anime, they will straight up just put the scene right in front of the character while they're performing the Rakugo, and they'll take you from the beginning to the end, full on Rakugo. It's crazy. I was like, wow, they really. And the thing is that it didn't feel forced.
You know what I like too about the Rakugo?
What?
They didn't really do any special transitions. Like, remember in, what was that Shamisen anime we just finished a season ago?
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the name. Yeah, whatever. But go ahead. Yeah.
It was the hottest of 2021 summer. But whenever they would play Shamisen, they would get to that next level in the zone, they would switch it to like blizzards and waterfalls and stuff like that. This, yeah. They just showed the expression of the person doing Rakugo, showing his mastery at what level he is. And God, the voice actors, you can feel really it, right? Knocked you can it feel out of it. The park. Yeah, you don't need to be shown special effects all the time.
Not at all. Do you think they recorded the voice first and did the animation on top, or vice versa?
It could go either way, because voice actors are professionals. I don't think they would have had any problem doing it after it was recorded.
You think so?
I think they would have had to consult them hand in hand, though. I would imagine, right?
I feel like it would be a lot easier if they gave voice actors free, you know, like...
to do it and then you draw it, right?
Yeah, I think that'd be a lot easier. Yeah, and it's easier to get the expressions right.
Mm-hmm.
If the voice actors... Yeah.
The posture and stuff like that.
Exactly, yeah. But I guess them doing it the other way, because that's how they always do it in the like the anime recording style type thing. But I would feel like I feel like for this anime, I think the voice actors got main priority over the animation.
Everything was top notch, but the voice actors just godly.
Yeah. It was crazy. And you can actually tell, like you can actually feel like their progression when they're doing Rakugo, because As they age, their Rakugo actually gets better and better. Well, even though they retell the same story, and you remember some of the stories too. Like, did you have like a favorite story overall?
It was just the one with the really long name. What was it called?
What was the story about?
Jugemu, the one with the ridiculous long
Jugemu,
name.
Oh, Jugemu, Jugemu, something, something.
Don't put
Namahatsu. That was the second season one, though. Yeah,
and interesting note about that one. That one's actually, apparently, it's one of the stories that they give, you know, the new apprentices just so they could get the ability to, like, be able to learn stuff like really crazy, off-the-wall words back-to-back. Like, that's one of the training ones.
Yeah, it's like when you're an actor and you start doing like those voice techniques or whatever, or your voice training, and then so you don't stutter during lines or something. I can see that for Rakugo, because that is actually really difficult to say.
It's also hilarious, which is, you know, easy hit with the kids. It gets interest in them. It's a good beginner just because it's funny and it'll appeal to a lot of people.
It's like very rhymey, right? Yeah.
That's the
appeal of it.
The appeal of it being ridiculously long, and they keep on repeating it over and over again. It just gets so ridiculous, you can't help but smile.
Yeah, it's like you start kids early, so like once they actually learn that, they already have a leg up, right? Yeah.
Also, I really like the Terasuko one, the cash word guy. Remember the one?
Oh, where he's like counting. He's counting money.
Counting the last performance of Sukeroku.
Was that his last performance?
Oh yeah, that was his last one. The one where he finds a satchel of money and he goes out drinking, and then his wife hides the money.
Okay, all right. So we've jumped around the topic long enough. Let's actually get into
the drama of
season one.
The spice,
because you brought it up, because once you said last performance, we have to get into it. So this is around what, episode 9 or 10 or something like that.
About. Right? This was after I forget what the lady's name is called, but she was a geisha that was 7th gen's lady, but then went towards Kikuhiku, just because they meshed together. But Kikuhiku gave her the cold shoulder, and, you know,
I don't know why he was so into the DMs. I don't know why he was so mean to her.
You want to know why? It's because the Rakugo Association, like, all those dudes are traditionalists, right? Yeah. When you're an apprentice to a Rakugo, master is top, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Kikuhiku reveres his elders way too much, and to fault, I think.
Maybe. What was it? Her name was Miyokichi, right? That's her name?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm sad they never brought back. Remember that girl he kind of liked?
And oh, I guess
she was American.
Crush? Right? No, she left back to the countryside. His first girlfriend.
Yeah, I'm surprised they never brought her back.
Yeah, I was expecting it too, but it never happened. His heart was set on the lady you just said, whatever her name is. This is long.
Yeah. So getting Miyokichi. Into it. It's hard to talk about this scene without actually mentioning the
background
lifeline. Yeah, the background of Miyokichi. So she works at the Rakugo Hall or whatever.
No, she was in the red light district.
Oh, was she? But she also she also helped out at the Rakugo.
Probably, as a geisha.
She did geisha dance too, right?
Well, they had their little setup where they would play the shamisen,
mm-hmm.
and also do like the singing for the background entrances, stuff like that.
Ah, okay, gotcha. Yeah, so she worked at the red light, but she also kind of stayed and worked at the Rakugo Hall as well. And then she fell in love with Yakumo, and they started somewhat semi dating, right? For like the
sneaking around behind the masters. Yeah, is what I would say.
How long do you think they were dating for?
It is an undetermined amount of time for me. I couldn't tell. They skipped a lot of time, remember?
Yeah.
Like, in this show, decades passed. Like, we went through 3 lifetimes of people.
So I would just say that they somewhat started dating, and then Yakumo, I guess, in his ways, broke up with her, and then she got, I guess, depressed. She felt depressed about it.
Yeah, she was head over heels for him, and he gave her the cold shoulder in favor for his master.
Right.
He's like, okay.
And so the transition between, I'm guessing it's the episode, like, I guess around episode 9 or whatever.
I don't remember the exact episode, but yeah.
Yeah, where Sugaroku gets kicked out of the Rakugo Association, and then he's just out randomly living in the countryside or whatever, I guess you would call it, right?
Well, after you're kind of glossed over that right when, you know, he gave her the cold shoulder for months, Yakumo, or Kikuhiko mm-hmm. in this case, she eventually ran into Sugaroku, and they ran away together to the countryside, and they had a kid together.
Yeah, that's the part. That's what I was getting at, because you don't know that. You don't know that yet, mm-hmm. because Yakumo goes to the countryside to visit Sugaroku, right? And he finds this random kid doing a Raku, and she's like, what, 6 to 8 years old?
Six, yeah, I can say that.
Yeah, she's like around six years old doing Rakugo.
Getting money because the fucking Sugaroku doesn't want to worry.
Yeah, and he, like, Yakumo is so perplexed about this kid. Like, why is she doing Rakugo? And she, and then she finds out that Yakumo is a
Rakugo, how would you say, singer, like a Rakugo performer?
Yeah. And basically, she leads him to the house, and he finds out, oh, that's the daughter of Sugaroku, which blows my mind away how crazy that is out of nowhere, right? Yeah, they just introduce another character.
Blew me away. I think also that, remember, he was a traditionalist. He was more bothered that a girl was doing Rakugo, do you think?
Maybe.
Because there were no women Rakugo at that time.
Yeah. Ever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I could give it a pass because she's only 6 years old. She's just doing it just to do it, right? Like, for she's doing it because they need the money, right?
Exactly.
Because at that time, Sugaroku was not working. He wasn't really doing anything.
No, he was just drinking because he got dumped.
He didn't get dumped. Like, he got, like,
his wife ran away.
Divorce. Yeah, but his wife ran away.
She was like sleeping with other men, getting paid for that, but not really sending money back to the family. So it was just Sugaroku and his kid, Konatsu. Yeah.
So Yakumo, like, what was it, tries to get Sugaroku back on his feet, and then he actually
definitely does.
He does. Yeah, he gets back on his feet, and then they start doing Rakugo together. And then near episode, I would guess near the ending,
11
of the,
or 12, something like that.
Yeah, near the end of the season is where you get the big crazy scene with them doing Rakugo at a certain Rakugo hall, and this place
was,
well,
not
like
a Rakugo
old
hall. It was like a geisha.
It used to be a geisha dancing hall,
that
right?
That they let them use just for that performance. It was a small, right. Remember, this is the countryside. It's not the city.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a two-story building. It's pretty big. It's big enough to host, like, maybe
it's a hotel.
Yeah, like, how many people were there? Like, maybe 60 to 100?
In that one room, it was
full.
Substantial amount of people. 30,
yeah.
I'd say, but...
Yeah, and so they start sending flyers out for people to come see this, and of course, Miyokichi sees this, and she's like, oh, you know, my husband's doing Rakugo again, and then she also see Yakumo is also coming back to do Rakugo as
she
well.
She just can't quit, man. She just can't quit Kikuhiko, bro.
Yeah, so she of course remembers, and she's like, oh, you know, he's finally back with me or whatever, and she goes to see him. And that's when you get this crazy revelation of, like, what was it? I'm just going to say it. Like, this is where Sugaroku dies. He dies because of an accident.
Yeah, so what happens is that Miyokichi, via, like, a lady that works there, tells Yakumo to go to the room because she wants to see him. She's been waiting for him. She left the Rakugo performance after Kikuhiko finished.
Right.
And there's like, oh, I love you, blah, 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 blah. And then Sukeroku shows up like, no, don't leave me. I still love you. And then, of course, because it's an old building, was it the balcony breaks?
Well, before that part, before that, Miyukichi's like, you know, that they still, that she still loves Yakumo and that they should, and then they're holding each other. And then she just tells them like, you know, I still love
Let's
you.
Let's kill each other.
We could just die together right now, you know, yeah. Like,
and she lovers. Tries to push him out.
Yeah, yeah, she tries to push him out of the balcony. And he's forced to, like, he's holding on for dear life. And he's like, no, I'm good.
I love Rakugo more than you, man.
And so Sukeroku, yeah, barges into the room. And right when he barges into the room, the balcony collapses, right? And
it breaks and he saves Kikuhiko or Yakumo. I don't remember if he made the transition at that point. What his rank was.
It was a pretty quick transition. It was kind of hard to remember, but they get into a position where Yakumo is holding up Sukeroku and Miyukichi at the same time. And keep in mind, he's not the strongest of person.
I bet you, like, he's a lanky
if it was
dude.
The other way around, if Sukeroku was holding up Yakumo and Miyukichi, he could have easily pulled them both up.
I was so frustrated in seeing that scene. I was like, just like swing him to the side. Isn't there a balcony right under that balcony?
That's what I was thinking too.
Oh my god! Well, we find out later why. Yeah, I don't think I would be able to think on my feet like that. So it's understandable.
Yeah, and keep in mind, this man Yakumo is only like 100.
He's a beanpole, bro.
100-120 pounds max.
Yeah, he's very thin. He's not athletic at all. Sukeroku would be the one.
Yeah, and Sukeroku looks like he's like at least 160. Plus Miyukichi,
he's meaty.
I think he's holding up at least 300 pounds worth of weight. So that's
surprised like, his shoulder didn't pop out.
Like I'm surprised he was able to hang on long enough for them to get everything out.
Right.
Like dialogue wise.
Conveniently plot. Not right. Armor in this case.
No, not at all. All right. So let's go ahead and transition to the second season, right? So fair warning right now. Fair warning. We gave you first fair warning at the beginning. I'm giving you another one right now. If you haven't watched it, go watch the second season because we're going to spoil some crazy spoilers.
And like if you thought that the last two episodes of the first season, but our other sisters and sisters, you have not heard anything or seen anything. It's substantially better than season.
Yeah. So, when we were talking about like the crazy transition of like from being going from 8 years old to like being like late 25 years old,
yeah.
For season two, we get some of the craziest time jumps you will ever see.
Was it like they went back to the original before the storytelling and
right
in, season? What was he like 50? He's full white. He's a Shiro. Yeah.
You know who we haven't talked about that really needs more recognition?
Who? The driver Matsuda.
The driver Matsuda, right?
Yeah. Dude, that guy was part of the family.
He started
as an apprentice, but he just didn't work out for him because he wasn't good enough. This is something we find out at the end of the show that he tried to be the apprentice, but he just wasn't good at it. Didn't have the charisma. Wasn't able to do the stories as good. He just. Like, if you or me were to do it without practice, that's how Matsuda would be. But he got, you know, random jobs from the master, you know, 7th gen Yakumo. And, you know, he stuck around forever. Dude was 95 at the end of the show. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, that's how crazy it is. It's like, so, like, remember that feeling you got when, like, Naruto transitioned from, like, regular Naruto into Shippuden?
Yeah, he's a teenager.
Yeah. You get that, but you get, like, from... I guess from season two, you get from like where
it really did feel like that, dude. Like Dragon Ball Z too. Except Goku looks like, the same the whole
there's
time.
There's legit three seasons of character. Like
three lifetimes.
Yeah, three lifetimes of character in the second season. That's so crazy to me.
Well, in second season, I guess it would be two, right?
What do you mean?
Because the first lifetime was in season one, second, and third lifetimes are in the second half. Because Yakumo Well, Yotaro, the remember the annoying Naruto sounding dude? The main character, yeah. The apprentice for 8th gen Yakuma.
He's the actual main character of season 2. And then at
the end of the show, he's like 55. I wouldn't say he's the main character. They're all equally important main characters.
But I mean, there's always more important characters. Like, I'm just saying who got more screen time, right? And I feel like Yotaro got the most screen time in season 2.
I feel like Yakuma was the most important character of the show. Because even in the opening, you know.
Yeah.
The opening song, like, you see visions of, you know, everybody putting their hands out to Yakuma. How
great was that opening for season 2?
Like, when Sukeraku opens the chest and it's a skeleton.
Oh, yeah.
Shinigami,
It was so good, wasn't it?
That, Hueco Mundo special. The white, whatever, so the little robe. I forget what the clothes are called.
I just wanted real quick to talk about what was it that you see Yakumo transition from being a teenager to being like in his
60s, 50s.
God knows, I would say 60s.
He was 60s definitely 60 in the middle of the show because he mentioned it. How old are we now, Matsuda? I was, you know, very close in age with like 60, 61 this year.
It was so crazy seeing that character in a new light because in season 1 you see it because they start out with them showing Yakumo as an old man, right? And then they do the time jump back before time. And then in season 2 you see Yakumo again. Didn't you feel kind of weird just seeing him like, "Oh wow, this was the character from season 1. He's so old now."
I
you
loved never see that him, crazy bro.
Transition, right?
I love that. It showed that he eventually got good at Rakugo, he kept with it and became a master in his own right.
Right.
It was like, fantastic.
Wasn't he head of the association at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well,
yeah,
not at the beginning of season 2. They asked him to, then halfway through season 2 or somewhere around there, he became the head honcho. And for the rest of the show, he was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, like, we literally got to see the full life of Yakumo.
I just to tell you something on.
What?
The way I saw this show, think of me as Yotaro. Right. I'm oblivious as fuck, right?
Yeah.
I don't catch on to hints at all. I didn't catch on to any. There's many stories.
Right.
This is a many feathered bird, and there's a lot of stuff. Like, so I'm probably sure you picked up a lot. Like, when they said lines, specific lines, especially after watching the last episode, I went back and watched like at season 2, episode 3, and episode 8. It's like, holy fucking shit, this show.
which line caught you off guard the most?
Do you want me to spoil the big?
Not the. No,
eventually
no,
we're going to get to it.
I want to get.
Let's go back to it after.
You know, just spoil it. I don't care. We gave enough warning. Spoil it. Okay.
All right. Like, so season 2. Sukeroku and Konatsu are, you know, living in the house with the master as apprentice, and then I don't know why she's there. I guess he was the foster dad for her. Mm-hmm. She has a kid, right? And on episode...
No, Konatsu. Oh, yeah. What was the kid's name?
I mixed up Konatsu with Miyokichi for a second. Miyokichi. I tried to salvage it, but you put me on blast. But yeah, they're so basically 8th gen becomes a foster dad for Konatsu. Not much of a foster dad. She just lives in his house out of obligation, I guess.
I mean, he took her in. That's better than nothing just being a kid on the street, right?
He was his homie. I don't think Yakuma would ever think of not just abandoning her. He just wasn't fatherly material.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as Matsuda said, they have a complicated relationship, and I didn't like, I thought, because, you know, she her whole life thought he killed Sukeroku and her mom wasn't the
case. Because going back to season 1 when they're doing the Rakugo and, you know, they get into that crazy like three-way triangle where Miyokichi and Sukeroku end up falling off the balcony and they both end up dying. And then Konatsu has always been holding a grudge because she's like six or seven at that time. And she's always held a grudge against Yakumo.
She got super traumatized. She's a kid. She doesn't know how to process death.
Yeah. Like she blames it on Yakumo for being the one that kills
her dad,
and her mom. Yeah.
And he never corrects her. He makes it a point to stay it that way because, you know,
is anything to be corrected. She doesn't know that there's anything that needs to be corrected because to her account, that's the story she recalls. And I guess, we've danced around it enough.
Say it.
So in season two, who's the one that reveals it? I think it was the driver, right? It was Matsuda that actually reveals the truth.
No. So when they're at the very end of the show, remember the kid that wanted to become Yakumo's apprentice but was kicked away, so he became a writer and became successful at that and came back to Rakugo and
helped a lot. Isuke, I think it was his name.
Isuke. Iguchi. Yeah. He helped out Yatara a lot and pretty much get a job and all that stuff. He was interviewing Konatsu, I suppose you could say, because at this point, she's the first Rakugo performer female and she's successful, and he questions her about who her child's father really is. And at this
that's a totally separate thing. That's a totally separate part from what the part we're talking about.
It's involved.
Well,
what are you talking about?
So I know what you're getting at, but the part I'm getting at is with the big secret one that reveals the big secret that Konatsu is Konatsu is the murderer. She's the one that killed her mom. Dad.
No, she didn't. So Konatsu walks in, she's mom stabs Sugaroku. Kid pushes her off the balcony, she falls off, and Sugaroku tries to save her. They both die. For sure.
Yeah, so that's the main thing is it's so crazy because in her mind she remembers the story of
seven they revealed that.
Yeah, it was so crazy.
I couldn't believe it. I had to take a break for several hours to process that.
Yeah, so in Konatsu's mind, she still remembers it as the three-way triangle between Sugaroku, Yakumo, and Miyokichi, and how like her mom and dad were like hanging off the balcony and they both died because they fell off the balcony. But the real story that Masuda tells the driver is that whenever her mom came to see her dad perform Rakugo at that hall, she stabbed her dad, and he was like, he wasn't dead yet. He was going to die.
He was like,
I mean, he had enough strength to like pull himself up and try to save
adrenaline. He's in
Miyokichi,
shock.
Right?
He looked like he was going to bleed out.
Yeah, he looked like about to bleed out. But I mean, if they got an ambulance there. Said it was a light wound, right?
Did he?
He said he's gonna survive. It's a light wound, and then Konatsu gets mad at her mom. She gets mad at Miyokichi, and then pushes her off the balcony. Like I guess it wasn't meant to be pushing off the balcony, but she just started pushing her randomly, and then the balcony collapses, and Miyokichi falls off the balcony, and then. Sugaroku like jumps up to his feet and tries to save her, and then he grabs her and the balcony fully collapses and they both fall to their death.
Yeah.
And then Konatsu ends up passing out because of how traumatic this is, and she forgets a majority of what happened. So in her mind she thinks that
I don't think she Yakumo, ever recalls it, does she?
That's what she she puts in like a third story. She puts in her own story about how it was like a love triangle and how Yakumo ends up killing her mom and dad.
I see.
And the thing is that like Yakumo never tells her the full story, and he tells Yotaro the full story about what happens, And
I thought it was the driver that did, or they just find out when they're at the
That's right. Yeah, he right. tells the driver the driver Masuda tells Yataro the story, and Yataro is like the semi husband to Konatsu.
He just straight up claimed it. He's like, okay, you're just single mom. I'm gonna be the dad.
Yeah, like they get registered as husband and wife. I get too. So
they're fully fledged.
Yeah. But I guess that's just for like accounting reasons or whatever, because they still act like they're totally
together. It's total. They're a couple. They like get married, but they fall in love afterwards.
Yeah, they fall in love afterwards.
Just, you know, another way people do things.
Yeah. And basically, like, Yataro is going to take the secret to his grave. He's not going to tell her. And same thing with Matsuda. No one's going to tell her the secret because I guess that was Yakumo's final wishes, to not let Konatsu know that she was actually the killer of her mom and dad.
Yeah, which is way too
crazy. Is a crazy revelation. All right, so
they just kind of dropped it and then dropped more revelations on you. It's like,
it's so crazy.
It's way too much.
All right, so you're actually going on about like the actual second big secret season two. Is that the son of Konatsu? What was his name? I don't remember.
It doesn't matter. He's spoiled by Yakumo. But in episode 3, remember where he goes to confront that, was it Yakuza gang leader? They just said gang leader. I don't think they ever said Yakuza. But basically where he says, get the fuck out of their life. I'm the dad now. I'm claiming it for me.
What was their relationship with Konatsu and the gang leader? I didn't really get that relationship.
He's just
at all.
A guy that was involved with the family, I guess.
Yeah, it was. I that part of the story didn't make any sense.
I didn't understand it at the time. Like, because Yotaro was like, I got a hunch. And then he confronts the boss. He puts on his, you know, Shinuichi performance.
Yeah.
Yelling at him, calling him this, that, the other. And then the gang leader tosses him into the little pond. He's like, cool your head, brat. And all this time, the gang leader was in the right. And was the lady's name again? Konatsu was crying. She was saying, you know, she was crying because she was trying to protect the boss because he was protecting her.
Right, right.
And Yotaro sat the other way around, like he was trying to, you know, keep it hush-hush so it wouldn't be, you know, illegitimate child of a gang leader. You know, he didn't want any more people trying to take the throne from him in the future.
Right.
And
but, wait, so with the child, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so like near episode 11 or 12.
12, the very last episode find out.
You find out the most revelating thing about the child, which is so crazy.
They don't explicitly say it, basically. They don't exactly say it, but they say everything but saying that.
They dance around the topic, but we kind of know what they're hinting at. They dance it out very
Yakumo
well.
Is the dad. Eighth gen.
Yeah,
the foster dad, but they got it annulled.
And the way they say this is that the Isuke, the writer.
Yeah, well, he was doing a biography on Yakuza's life. He asked
Konatsu. He hints at Konatsu about how, you know, the child might have the blood of two of the greatest Rakugo performers, and they dance around the topic, and she's like, she says that she'll never tell, but that's crazy.
She basically does, because she says how she was, you know, young and rebellious. And in season 2, episode 3, she was talking about how she's a slave to her blood. She's going to turn out just like her mom. And she kind of did to an extent, because she slept with Yakumo and had a kid with him.
Yeah.
This is fucking crazy. I mean, the dude's, you know, Silver Fox. Well, his whole performance is he's like a fox, right?
Yeah.
A mischievous fox.
I mean, like, when he got into his own Rakugo, like, in season 1, he learns that he basically does, like, a lot of, like, I guess, R18 type of Rakugo, right? Like, very risque type of Rakugo.
But he was always just, you know, Miyokichi, 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 but she's not around anymore. So what's the next best thing, I guess? Konatsu, because... No, she's just like her. Not quite. She's a tomboy.
I don't think they ever dive. I don't want to say don't. Much
it's
about
a
that
story really untold.
Yeah. Like,
but that's what my guess would be. Because remember in season 2, episode 8, he was trying to jump off that little overpass. Old as fuck with his cane. For real, this time he needs it. And he's like, Konatsu hugs him, and he's like, your love continues to cling to me. And then he's looking straight at Yotaro at the same time. Like, I went back to watch that scene specifically, and I was like, man, this nasty old motherfucker looking at his pupil. He knows exactly what he's doing. Like, my respect for that dude kind of fell off a cliff a little bit. Like, but at the time, you know, Yotaro and Konatsu.
You don't know. That's the thing. You don't know until you go back and rewatch it. I'm like, damn, this is
like, if I feel bad for Yotaro because it feels like everybody knows but him. But I really
like,
just
I
the
feel
boss,
like he knows. I think he's smarter than you give him credit.
At the end
it.
Of the show, yeah, because he said it's best, you know, some things are best
it's
left
best,
unsaid.
Yeah, it's best kept a secret, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And that could have apply to many different things.
It's, but I that's what I'm saying. I he's a
again
lot
a many feather bird. For. Well, yeah, he becomes wise with age, as all those other characters do.
Yeah,
and it's just wait. It's just crazy the amount of stuff in this. I just could go on and on and on, and you know, go on tangents. I even went on a deep dive about Rakugo performers in real life, stuff like that. I saw some dude's YouTube. It's pretty interesting, but I'll mention that.
Okay, let me talk about the kid real quick. When he was like 8 years old or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Man, he was giving me like the creepiest feeling. Like he has that type of character design where he's like, man, I feel like he's gonna kill somebody.
Really?
Did you feel that at all?
No, not really. I just thought the gang boss was gonna come back and try to, you know. Maybe when he was like 18 or something, he's like, I need a successor or something like that.
So did the game boss think the kid was his?
No, not at all. He was covering for Yakumo. Because Yakumo thanked him for the debt. And I thought it was just about money when I originally saw it. Because they were at the, you know, fucking people not watching Rakugo. How are they paying for the venue, you know? Rent. Bills gotta be paid. I mean, the building never had central AC, so I guess power was minimal, but still.
I mean, it's, I wouldn't say it's the biggest type of art form, but I mean, they got people to fill the seats, right? Yeah.
At the time, it was just dying down. Because that was a big driving thing for Rakugo, is that at the time, there's just not many people. It's just Yakumo, Yotaro,
it's just a handful,
and Tokyo.
Yeah, just a handful
one
of people,
theater
right?
left in Tokyo. That's it. One theater.
Yeah. Oh, let me talk about, because we're in season 2, let me, like, the scene, the double scene, which was so crazy, is
what
when they
scene?
Were performing Shinigami.
Oh, man, that was...
And the first, did that give you chills, dude? I gave you so...
You have to see it to watch it. We can't describe it in any...
I'm gonna, like, since we're spoiling everything else, I want to try to describe it the best I can. So, at the end of Shinigami, basically, the story is that someone's life is basically about to go out. And at the end where usually, you know, you don't have to, but for Yakumo's performance, he likes to light a little bit incense, you know, to capture that, you know, specialty. And during this, his one of his few final public performances where he's able to where he's doing the final scene of that. And
you talk about right before he collapses.
Was that the scene where he collapses?
There were two. Yeah, the one in the he collapses, then, you know, he stops doing Rakugo for a bit because he's too old to do it.
Yeah. So during that performance, that the smoke like basically billows into a
it wasn't enough to like replace the oxygen with carbon monoxide or anything
that. Not
it's
that.
Just
because
his health is failing. But the one you're talking about is when he's alone in the theater by himself. He asks for permission.
That's right. Yeah.
And he's doing empty seats by himself.
Yeah, he's practicing technically.
No, I think he's just, you know, trying to do his final performance and die doing Rakugo.
But basically, Was that the same one? I don't think that's the same one.
The first one, he saw Miyokichi.
And the first one, he sees Miyokichi as like a ghostly smoke figure.
Apparition.
And then in the second one, he sees Sukeroku, which is not as like a ghostly figure, but as like an actual himself. Person.
Yeah. Spirit. Yeah. Because remember, he sees all the souls that are lit in chairs, right. Which is, I guess, souls of people past that maybe performed in the building. It was great. The god of performers. I guess Shinigami is the penultimate story that you could do. It needs you to.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Probably, you know.
Well, and
I don't think marijuana was legal back then.
The next one going after that one was after Yakumo dies, I guess in his deathbed. And wasn't it crazy that Matsuda was there? The driver was there.
He remembered.
Dude,
Matsuda remembered there how?
To what do you mean he remembered?
He remembered doing the thing on the boat for him.
I have no idea. Like, yeah, Matsuda was there to ferry him to the other side of the River Styx. And I was like, dude, driver, like, he is like the most legit character to the very end.
Dude, how the heck do you remember that? That's crazy. Like, the depictions of the afterlife in shows is something I'm always interested in. They just did this one perfectly.
I think in Matsuda's words is like, that's the Buddha's wish for Matsuda to see his master off one final time. That's, I don't know, I'll just leave it there, I guess.
I don't know, he went to hell, which is maybe a translation thing, but I don't know how that religion works for them.
I don't know. That's all I remember is that.
Complicated topic. They never really discuss religion.
Yeah, they know Buddhas, they never go into it very deeply. And so basically, during one of Yotaro's performances, like when he's in his 40s, I guess, and he's redoing Shinigami. Yeah.
And imagine started out Shinigami's the first thing he sees, show ends with Shinigami. I love it.
Right. And you get the full scene of Shinigami too at the very end, full too, circle. Which is crazy. And he goes and they do that final scene where the man is dying. And he actually sees Yakumo, and Yakumo's like, "You finally made it. You finally get to see."
Oh, you're starting what's to see at the it end too. Of
masterhood or whatever, right?
Yeah, like teasing him. Oh, you saw the god of performance first.
Yeah, and it's so chilling how crazy the ending of that of this anime. Like, I feel like they set up really well to where it could get a third season.
I don't want a third season.
I feel very content. To where it ends.
There would be no attachment to the new characters. There's no point. You know, the story's done.
I mean, they skipped so many generations. I feel like it could, like, I can see it getting a third season, but I'm content with it having a second season.
It's a masterpiece as is.
I mean, like, I felt like, let's say we finished season one, right? I was like, oh, I would have been so content with just them. I don't need a second season. And then
but how could you top season two? Come on.
Yeah, like, how could you top season one? It's so good.
Remember then, people were saying that about Dexter, and then it became a big pile of garbage? Just stop it. Leave it there. There's pretty much, you know, everything was pretty much closed off. I don't see, like, they would have to, like, have completely new characters.
Yeah. And like, for this anime, I remember, like, putting off this anime because I was always turned off by the main character, so I'm so glad that this, like, they didn't use Yotaro as the main character for the first season, because it actually, like, his type of characteristic, it doesn't appeal to me at all. But he does come back in season two, which I'm totally fine with, because we get to see a lot of the background. We kind of know where everyone's at that point.
No, well, he's the one that saves Rakugo, for sure.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. Him and the writer guy doing stuff on the radio.
Yeah. And overall, like, the ranking for this anime, like, in the My Anime List, it's at 73, and I feel like it's justified. It's justified where it's at with its ranking.
Yeah,
it's extremely high, extremely good, and I now know why it's so high.
This is just one of those shows that I missed. I didn't even
bother to look at the full list.
It's like, oh, look, Magic Isekai Robots.
Like, when we were going down the list of, like, what what anime to watch. I just randomly recommend this because, like, oh look, it's pretty high up
there. Well, technically it was my turn to pick, and he used some Jedi mind tricks on me. He's like, oh yeah.
Well, I was just going down the list. I was like, here, I'll give you a couple recommendations because you didn't know what you really wanted.
I mean, after Yuki, I really didn't. I was discouraged.
This,
like, oh,
yeah, but this is a great find for anyone. Dude, like,
how are we gonna top the show for ourselves? Like, satisfaction wise, I don't think it's gonna be a while before we find another show of this caliber.
Like we're after this show, it's gonna be the another like 20 isekai animes, and then we're gonna find something decent.
Where's the sequel to Kamisama Kazaku?
Oh God, please
give me that Tatami Galaxy.
Oh Lord. Alright, I guess we're hitting our time slot. Anything finer you want to say about this anime?
Yeah, if you want to see how Rakugo really is, just because I literally didn't sleep last night.
You went on a binge.
Not one hour. Because I wanted to talk about it, you know.
Right.
There's a dude on YouTube I found, Katsura Sunshine. He's literally trained in Japan for many years by Rakugo Master. I forget his name, but he does it in English, and I don't know if it would be a good, you know, form of art to translate to English, but he does a really good job of it, and I actually laughed at some of his stuff. He explains some of his experiences of how it was him doing his apprenticeship and stuff like that, the relationship between master and apprentice, and it reminded me of Kikuhiku and Urakume. Like, master says it's done, like, he's the end all,
the final say. Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, you, what you do for him, chores, etc.
When you say he does it in English, is it like, is he proficient in English,
or he's,
is it
kind proficient of like the Japanese? In Japanese, but he translate the whole thing, he does the whole act in English for people.
That's
and
cool.
He tries to do the best, because some words in Japanese, like, it's not going to translate over exactly. The thought would take a sentence to do where the word doesn't exist.
Yeah. I guess the final words for me is... So the final thing for me is that I'm glad I know where the origin of, like, that really long name comes from. What was it called?
Where did you see it? Jugemo?
Yeah, Jugemu, because like they always use it as like a little like comedy thing in like anime, because they say it all the time in anime, right? Because I was like, this is funny.
Oh yeah, it does sound familiar, but
yeah. So I'm glad I know the origin of it now, which is really funny. Besides that, I 100% recommend this anime. It's like, we didn't give it a rating yet. What would you rate this anime?
Easily 9.4.
I'm just gonna give it a 10. Why not? Like, there's no other anime that's in this type of wheelhouse. So.
Well, of this genre, yeah, it's the only one. But
like, I'm not gonna put shade on it by giving like a low score. I'm just gonna give it a 10 because I'm recommending it to people who need to watch it. Like, it's a good watch. It's a recommended watch. Definitely give it a watch. Yeah. I guess besides that, I guess that's pretty much it. So we'll see you guys later. Bye.